You know those endless summers when you were a kid? That feeling, the sun, maybe a lake. Those memories just pull you right back, don't they?
Oh, definitely. They're so vivid.
Well, today we're diving into one just like that. It's a really compelling story called The Aqua King of Lake Nacimiento.
It's a fantastic piece. And what's great is, it seems simple on the surface, just a fun summer memory,
Right.
but it's packed with these specific details, a lot of humor too, and it lets us unpack some pretty universal stuff.
Like what kind of stuff?
Well, things like passion, family dynamics,
Yeah.
and that whole journey, from being totally focused on yourself as a kid to maybe understanding shared joy a bit more.
Exactly. So that's our mission today. We want to pull out the key nuggets from the story. We'll get into the narrative itself. It's got such a distinct voice written by this trash can Carl character.
Which is a great framing device in itself.
It really is. And we're pairing that story with a more reflective piece, an analysis called The Principle of Shared Joy and Unconditional Support.
Right, to kind of connect the dots.
Yeah. Think of this as like your shortcut to seeing the deeper currents under this seemingly simple summer adventure. Okay, so let's set the scene. Lake Nacimiento.
The yearly pilgrimage. I love that phrase from the text.
Me too.
Oh.
It wasn't just a vacation, it was this glorious schism in the humdrum of summer, like breaking free.
Yeah, it's escaping the asphalt for liquid freedom and those grand expeditions of hydrodominance. It's so perfectly over the top.
Totally captures that childhood feeling of importance, right? And it's all thanks to Trash Can Carl, our sort of silent chronicler here.
It throws you right into that world. And initially, it's very much this dad-centric reign, with little Carl and his sister Carla as the subjects. Loyal sometimes, maybe rebellious other times.
Yeah, and then mom arrives later and things change a bit.
Exactly. But that first part, it's all about the water, the boat, the adventure. It really sets up the core dynamic we're looking at.
Which is
That intense focus of the kid, little Carl, and the just unwavering support from the parent, dad.
Okay, got it. And central to little Carl's world, his hydrodominance was the kneeboard.
Oh, the kneeboard. Yes. It wasn't just a piece of gear.
No way. The source calls it the ultimate weapon of watery wizardry. Even a magic carpet or a surfboard of the
Which
gods.
sounds completely like how a kid that obsessed would see it, right? It's his ticket.
His ticket to what, like, water Olympics-worthy stunts, apparently? It was serious business, an obsession.
And you can't have the kneeboard czar without the supporting cast, namely Dad.
Right. He wasn't just the driver, he was Captain Awesome.
Master of the throttle, Sultan of the slalom, the titles just keep coming.
And the story really emphasizes his skill, doesn't it? Driving the boat with the precision of a brain surgeon.
Yeah, like a brain surgeon focused purely on making the perfect wake for maximum airtime. You get this image of them just out there for ages.
Hours melted away like ice cream on a hot dog. Love that description. All for little Carl's stunts.
You can almost feel that summer heat and the boat spray.
Totally. And little Carl's skills, or maybe his perceived skills, were pretty epic in his mind.
360 turnarounds done with casual flair.
And jumping the wake wasn't just jumping. Oh no, it was launching himself into the stratosphere, just casually defying
The
gravity.
description's fantastic. A boy possessed, a waterborne demon unleashed.
He's pushing the limits of physics and dad's considerable patience. You just see this bundle of pure, focused
In the
energy.
intensity, what gets me is how we push through the pain.
Oh yeah.
The text says his arm screamed in protest, his fingers ached from holding the rope. But did he stop?
Let me guess. No.
Not a chance. Stopping was for the weak. That was his motto. He'd go until his limbs detached, basically.
Wow, that's dedication, or maybe something else. Maniacal.
A bit of both, maybe. That youthful drive, it's intense.
And all the while, Dad's just there, supporting him.
Unconditionally, even after the spectacular wipeouts.
Which were never Carl's fault, of course. It was the lake. The lake was unjumpable that day.
Naturally. But Dad, he's the wizard with the rope. It just magically appears back over little Carl's shoulder, ready for another go.
And the throttle control. Dad knew just how much room to give it.
Exactly the right amount. Yeah.
Yeah.
That perfect surge of power. It's actually quite a beautiful picture of patience, isn't it?
It really is. Just quiet support. But all good things must end.
Ah, yes. The end of the rain. The tyranny of turns.
Signaled by the dreaded throat cut gesture. Time's up.
And little Carl's reaction. Calm, understanding.
Oh, no. Think more along the lines of rage. Pure, unadulterated volcano erupting rage.
Oh, dear. All because he had to share.
Yep, share the kneeboard with his sister Carla. It was an injustice of epic proportions in his world. That feeling of mine.
So relatable, though, right? That childhood difficulty with sharing, it's almost physically painful for some kids.
Totally. But this moment, this peak frustration from Carl, it actually opens up another view, doesn't it? Dad's view. Well, while Carl's having a meltdown, the story mentions Dad's big goofy grin, his booming laugh, when Carl did land a trick, or even wiped out spectacularly.
Ah, so Dad wasn't just enduring this, he was enjoying it.
Seems like it. The source says this was Dad's happy place, too, his time being the undisputed captain.
And doing it for hours, never a complaint, just pure enjoyment.
Exactly. It wasn't just a chore for him, it suggests. Well, the text calls it a silent language of love.
A watery ballet of father and child. That's lovely. So Dad's joy wasn't in doing the stunts himself, but in enabling Carl.
Yeah, enabling the triumphs, enjoying the effort, even laughing with him at the falls. It adds a whole other layer.
That really sets up the second source perfectly, the principle of shared joy and unconditional support.
Right. It takes that dynamic we just saw and unpacks it. Carl's intense, almost maniacal dedication.
Which is impressive in its own way.
Sure, but it highlights that common childhood struggle, you know, finding it hard to share, hard to see past your own immediate wants.
That frustration about giving his sister a turn really screams self-centered perspective, which is normal for a kid, but.
But it's where the growth happens, right?
Exactly. And the analysis contrasts Carl's focus with what the father represents, that unconditional support and shared joy.
All those endless hours driving the boat, the genuine enthusiasm, the laughter, it wasn't about Dad's ego.
No, it points to this deeper principle that the real lasting joy often comes from these shared experiences and from supporting loved ones.
It's not just a nice thought, it's like a different kind of happiness.
Precisely. So you have this contrast, Carl's chasing individual glory, being the Ochre King.
While Dad is quietly, maybe without even thinking about it consciously, creating memories of family connection and shared happiness.
And the big takeaway there is pretty powerful, isn't it?
What would you say it is?
That maybe the greatest joy comes not from endless individual pursuit, but from enabling and celebrating the enjoyment of those we love.
It flips the script a bit. You think being the support person means you're missing out.
Right. But for Dad, being Captain Awesome for Carl, that was his joy. Not a sacrifice, but a different fulfillment.
So the lake wasn't just Carl's kingdom.
No, it was this shared space, shared laughter and unspoken affection. A truth that hopefully even little Carl figured out eventually. Maybe?
Huh, maybe. And thinking about this now, it's amazing how often this plays out in adult life too, right?
Oh, absolutely. We're always navigating that balance, aren't we? Our own passions versus the rewards, the real deep rewards of supporting others.
We all have our own kind of Lake Nacimiento moments, our own kneeboards we don't want to share.
That's a great way to put it. It's not just about kids or sports. It's relationships, work teams, communities, everywhere.
And this idea that individual wins can be kind of fleeting.
Yeah, but the connections built through that mutual support, that shared enthusiasm, they tend to stick around longer.
It's not just making someone else happy, it actually changes your happiness.
It shifts your own experience of joy from maybe a quick hit of personal success to something more sustained, connected.
So this really brings up a question for you listening. Where are your own tyranny of turns moments? You know, times when you're so focused on your thing that you miss chances for that shared joy.
And maybe the next step is asking, how can you choose to embrace that? Not just for them, but understanding it actually enhances your own experience too.
It can be a real aha moment, can it? When you realize how good it feels to genuinely enable someone else's excitement.
It truly is. Celebrating their win, or even just their effort. Shifting from my turn thinking to our turn, and finding that our turn feels richer somehow.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, maybe the final thought to leave you with is this. Sometimes the biggest, most meaningful joys aren't in the spotlight of individual achievement.
Yeah, sometimes they're found in that quiet, steady support, the shared laughter, the simple act of being there for someone else.
So what does this mean for you? Think about it. Is there an area where you're maybe clinging to individual glory?
And what might happen if you shifted? If you leaned into actively enabling someone else's passion, could that unlock something even better for you? A deeper kind of fulfillment.
It's definitely food for thought.
And hey, if you found this story, the Aqua King of Lake Nacimiento, which, by the way, is part of a larger series called the Trash Can Carl Stories, if you found it engaging.
And you're curious about how these kinds of narratives can be more than just entertainment, how they can actually be tools for learning, like language learning.
Now, we've got some resources you might want to check out.
Yeah, whether you're maybe an English teacher looking for really engaging, ready-to-go materials, or you're a learner wanting to boost your own skills.
For teachers, there's the Teacher's Toolkit. It's got full lesson plans built around these unique stories, like the one we discussed, and they're differentiated A2, B2, C2 levels, so it saves a ton of prep time.
And if you're learning English yourself, we have a couple of options. There's the Learner's Listening Package, great for practicing listening, maybe on your commute, with new stories each week.
Or, for a deeper dive, there's the Full Immersion Package. Some call it the Complete Library. You get everything the audio, voiced at a high C2 level, plus the written text at A2, B2, and C2 levels.
So you can listen, read, compare, really immerse yourself. And you get access to all the past stories and all the future ones, too.
The key thing is all these resources use these really engaging stories, powered by some pretty cool AI tech, to make learning stick.
So if you want to explore how narrative can boost learning, head over to CustomEnglishClasses.com.
That's CustomEnglishClasses.com. Check out the plans, find what works for you, and dive into some great stories.
Thanks so much for joining us for this deep dive today. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning,
and keep sharing the joy.